This week, as I was getting ready to gather us in worship and really knew what was on my heart to say, it was interesting that I stumbled across an article. I wasn't looking for it, but I stumbled across an article that really organizes what I want to talk about this morning. I thought, isn't God sweet to put that in my way? It's an article, Quaker Sayings, and the one that he addressed this time was Proceed as the Way Opens. It's an article by Philip Gully, who is a Quaker from Indiana. And it just was a really helpful article in articulating really what we've been talking about. He says, first he quotes from Sacred Compass, a book by Brent Bill, and defines this phrase, which is proceed as way opens, this way. To proceed as way opens means to wait for guidance, to avoid hasty judgment or action, to wait for future circumstances to help solve a problem. The spiritual guidance may come in a time of seeking or entirely unexpectedly, bringing a suggestion for previously unforeseen action. Gully then suggests that we not force our way through life, determined to reach our goals, and we just kind of muster our way through and with this determination to make it happen. And that sometimes we really fail to wait for our guide in that determination to do what just seems right. We just got to get it done. And when way doesn't open soon enough, then we just bulldoze our way through, acting hastily, forcing something. And it's before all the pieces are in place to ensure a good outcome. It's a reminder that life, it has a rhythm, a cadence, that it flows, and that we need to allow that to happen. Proceeding as way opens is not a call to just be passive and just do nothing, but it's a call to be patient and to let it season. To let something season is to wait and not take action until we feel clear. And when there's an internal stop or barrier in, or the way has closed, we simply wait. To proceed as way opens is to believe that God has a hope for our lives, a longing for us, and that we can know what it is and be obedient to it, that we can follow God and we can perceive and know this hope for our lives. It is to trust that when we're obedient, that we can find way forward. And to proceed as way opens is a call to patient discernment, to listening. The truth is that Northwest Yearly Meeting couldn't wait for way to open. And they took matters into their own hands and have forced a split in Northwest Yearly Meeting. Because Northwest Yearly Meeting really lost hope that a way could open, and so they took it by force. The result has been a painful birth of a new yearly meeting. There's been loss and grief, lots of anger, a sense of injustice and that this isn't right. And the forced birth created a vacuum, an empty hole without clear next steps. And then within the vacuum, there was lots of caution, pain, emotion, and fear, all mixed up with hope. But no identified leadership and just a series of open gatherings in which it felt awkward and cumbersome. That's where it was when I left here 2 weeks ago to go to pastor's conference and then to a meeting in Eugene last Saturday, a week ago yesterday. I felt a real sense of urgency to get things moving. We were one of the five churches that are leaving Northwest Yearly Meeting, and it felt like we needed to begin to pull things together, begin to figure out next steps. And so I felt led in that to gather others that were also leaving during pastor's conference, and so four of us met together. We got together and talked, and all of us felt a need to do something, but all recognized that we hadn't been appointed as leaders. We hadn't been given any permission to do anything. We were just kind of moving ahead. And yet we had this sense that we needed to do something formational. We agreed and we set an agenda to welcome everyone and then worship together and then deal with our organizational issues, and one of the people among us, which is kind of like, I'll make it happen. And then a sense that we ought to talk about who we are and our identity question. And in that, we decided to ask Jan, sitting over here, this Jan, our Jan, to be the clerk, and recognize that she had led the Institute for Group Discernment, and that this was something she was experienced in knowing about and how to clerk a meeting. So I was the one that was tasked with asking Jan to do that. And as I was leaving that group, I thought, Jan should have been here to be a part of this conversation. I know Jan well, and I know her ability to clerk, but she needed to be a part of this. So now it's my job to explain this to her. So I wrote this email with a short agenda, but then fleshed it out. And I got an email back that said, that's too much. We can't do that. It won't be successful. It won't get us where we want to go. And can we talk? So I said, yes, tomorrow at 1 o'clock I have free time, and we made an appointment to talk. Before that appointment, before we had opportunity to talk, God and Jan had a little conversation, and Jan sent to me a full-blown agenda, a page and a half full-blown agenda of how she really sensed that this could go forward. Shifted not away from our heart and our goal, but shifted the format of how we could do it in a way that could be successful. I did the networking with all of the people, the four people that had met together, and everyone said, yes, we could do that. And so we proceeded with asking Jan to clerk. I never told Jan that we had asked her to clerk because she had been the leader of the Institute for Group Discernment, but in fact, that was what Jan said, I need to do this as the leader of the Institute for Group Discernment, and was announced that way, and that was an invitation. So it was just one of those pieces where we had said something, but I hadn't passed it on, and that was named as an important piece, and it was true. We also asked Tom Stave to be the recording clerk. At Eugene then, last Saturday, 77 people from 17 meetings registered their attendance. Now, I think there were probably more than that there, but we don't know for sure.
The count was 90,
okay. It included some people from North Pacific Yearly Meeting, some that are unaffiliated, not associated currently with the meeting. They've either left their meeting for a variety of reasons, but they have heart for Quaker and heart for what we're doing, and they were there. There were some from a couple of worship groups that are just people gathering to worship together. And Jan, Cecily, and I were all present, and Jan is clerk of the meeting, as I said. It was an excellent meeting. I think Jan would... It was a hard meeting to clerk because there was so much energy and so much happening in the room and so many thoughts that were going in multiple directions. But Jan did an excellent job of keeping us on track and keeping us focused. We began with significant worship. It was announced that it would be 45 minutes of worship. And so we just really settled in to listening and waiting in the presence of God. After about a half hour, a couple of people spoke out of the silence, and that was good leading. It was just good to have it really bathed in a sense of worship at the beginning. In the end, we did name an interim committee as a first step. But first, I want to take us back to centering in worship. From the minutes, I'm going to read a paragraph. We began a meeting for worship for the conduct of business. Jan invited us into a period of waiting worship. Jan described this worship experience as both spacious and disciplined. Spacious to give room for learning, and disciplined on the basis of a covenant relationship with one another. When we enter the door, we lay down our preconceptions, convictions, and planned speeches, and take on a neutral space in the Spirit of Christ to align with the heart of Jesus. It's like shedding the garments that need to be shed, that encumber us, and take on the garment of Christ that frees us. Whenever an organism experiences pain, the natural reaction is to resort to coping mechanisms, to change our behavior to protect itself, from that pain ever happening again. We are being birthed out of woundedness and pain, and are vulnerable to resorting to those defenses. We need to release those we are angry at, hold in judgment, have wounded us. Release them into the hands of Jesus. We so need this healing among us, because we don't want to carry the DNA of our pain into our future. We may have been birthed in trauma, but God is the great healer. And we can shed the past and take on Christ who sets us free and live a free and an unencumbered life, of free of this pain. We have seen families that have been entwined in trauma and have watched as one person is healed and able to step out of the trauma and break that cycle. It can happen with yearly meetings as well. I think that's such an important point. The truth is that the meeting was good and that there was oodles and of energy and ideas and things that were springing forth. In the end, we did agree to form an interim committee, two persons from each of the five churches that will meet together until yearly meeting this summer. Jan and Cecily are on that committee. I stepped down as the third person. We had named three representatives from North Seattle, but given all the other things that I am doing and the fact that I'm on a transition committee, and given that really, two people seemed to be the leading for the group, it was easy for me to step aside and release that to others. They'll meet together until yearly meeting this summer. They'll plan for some parallel business sessions that will happen during yearly meeting. There will be time set aside that this new thing can begin to meet together in business while the other Northwest yearly meeting is also meeting. At that point, we'll assess our next steps in the process, what comes after this. The work won't really begin on this interim committee until May 21st, because that's when West Hills Friends will name the people to their committee. So until that happens, it won't be a complete committee. And then afterwards, folks volunteered for a communication team, which has been hard at work. I'm a part of that communication team in addition to serving on the transition team. As a communication, we've already been at work. There's a website up and going. There are emails that are going out. And if you want to be on that email list and aren't, let me know and I'll get you on it, or it can be done through the website. So it feels good that we're already doing things. We're all getting things together. Our new thing is what we're calling ourselves until we get a name. We don't have a name yet, so our new thing is it. Afterwards, one of the people that I got an email from had commented on the lack of understanding of Quaker ways. And when a large group tries to do Quaker process, that it really feels like too many people speak unseasoned words that don't help the discernment. And I was again impressed when Jan responded, and with understanding of where she was coming from, but recognizing that this was the first time folks had had to gather and do this creative kind of thinking about what are we going to do next. And people came with all their energy, their ideas, their dreams, their hopes, their wonderings, even their fears. And when we mixed that all into a room, it was kind of popping out everywhere. Jan says, I knew it would be messy and all over the place, but we just need to see how this plays out and that we can't always control it. She also knew that we could only accomplish one, maybe two, but really probably only one thing in the meeting, which was to name this interim committee. Because we were starting in this vacuum where there wasn't anything formed and we were kind of creating from nothing. and that what was happening was healthy and messy, response to the first step of harnessing the life and energy that is bursting out of the group. There were so many subtexts in the room that it was important to hear and feel them as a whole group, not just a small group, not just the interim committee to get emails that tell this is what we're thinking, but to be able to feel that energy coming out in the group. And so that was a really good thing. Then as the communication team was meeting, we kind of stumbled over ourselves again, in which we didn't know exactly what each other were doing. And Eric Muir made this comment: "I think this is part of the fun. A little bit of chaos can be creative. It's also a decent sign that we have good engagement. Lots of cooks in the kitchen might mess up the meal from time to time, but it's good to be working together. It's good to be in community." And I was really reminded of that our work in the creation of this new thing will need us to have some comfort with creativity and ambiguity. It's going to be with us, and at times it's going to feel a bit chaotic, but that's a part of God's birthing this new thing among us. A friend once told me that as a leader, particularly as a Quaker leader, that I must create space for and allow chaos or ambiguity, or, you know, to try to, sometimes there's this sense in which I want to kind of control everything and have it be ordered and right and straight and formed. And yet that sucks the life out of something like this, and that stepping back and kind of letting life happen is a good thing. So I love the creative energy that is flowing and the excitement that people are bringing to it. And I love the creativity and excitement that I feel, the joy that I feel as I'm a part of this new thing. As I was really thinking about this new yearly meeting and all that was happening there, I was really drawn to our own church. I knew that. I didn't know that it was going to close tomorrow, but I knew it was on our property, but I knew it was really, really soon that we were going to close. And so I began to think about that. And then when I thought about this call to proceed as way opens, I was so reminded of North Seattle Friends Church. And how that has really been true for us, that we have simply proceeded as way opened. From the very first time that someone from UPREP came and sat in my office and said, "We have maximized out what we can do in our current building, and we've got to figure out what we're doing. And all options are on the table, from moving to a new location, moving the entire school to a new location, to building, to splitting the school, kind of everything is on the table." But they could not go up any higher than they currently have gone up. They can't build more stories up. And they can't go out anymore in their current location because they're landlocked by land that they can't purchase and build on. Even if they could purchase it, they couldn't build on it. And so they were just kind of looking at all options. And she looked at me and said, "Would you ever consider selling your church?" And I said, "Well, we're not looking to sell our church. We don't need to sell our church. But make us an offer and we can't refuse and we'll talk." And guess what? They have made an offer that we can't refuse, and we did talk. And it's been a while, and we've done it step by step. We've opened this door and we've waited. It's been about 5 years since that first conversation. So it has taken time. We haven't rushed the project. We haven't pushed ahead. We haven't said, "Yes, we're going to do it." In fact, there are times when we've said, "Okay, maybe we can't do this." And we've rediscerned together. Are we going to lay this down? Is this really ours to do? Maybe this is a halt. And let's stop. And I think Beth has probably felt more of those than anybody because of her unique role in this as our real estate person that has all those connections. And yet, for all of us, we've had times when we've wondered. And we've kind of waited and wondered, is this ever going to happen? Are we there? Are we here? What are we doing? What's happening? And yet, it's been one step after another that way has opened for us. It's really been a wild ride, I think. but just simply proceeding as way opens. And in that, I've been so aware of how God has cared for us. At every time, at every point, every single point, when I was tempted to step in and force something to happen, God met me. God was there before I could do the forcing. The building, we simply have followed the openings that have come. We did not seek this in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, you prep is, really God is using you prep to bring all of this about. It isn't of their doing, essentially. It's a gift from God. And we have walked through that each time. The finances were the place that I start to panic. And I remember getting the budget about a year ago, or the finance report about a year ago, and going, this is absolutely unsustainable. And I called Jan and I said, can I come over and pray before I panic? Because I'm really close to panic. And I know that won't serve us well. And I know that God is the answer, but I can't do this alone. I'm too scared. And in that meeting, we realized that we could apply to the French Church Extension Fund and get a loan from them, and that would be relatively easy. My brother is the president of the French Church Extension Fund. My father is the treasurer. I kind of had Ian, you know. It's all right. We'll take all the ins we can get. I called, and sure enough, we could get a loan, and we got one that tided us through. We were able to borrow on a line of credit up to $50,000, and that got us through the pickle that we were in at that moment. And then we discovered that we could sell the Tool Library building. Not the whole property yet, but that the school was willing to buy just the Tool Library property, and that was enough to take care of this immediate crisis that we felt, and we still have money in the bank that we don't have to panic each month about how much do we have. Now, obviously, we don't want to spend all of that on just paying the bills, but, you know, when God brings you the answer, who's going to look at it and say, I didn't want that answer, I want a different answer? No, God graced us with selling that and selling it for a good price, or at least what I thought was a good price, and we are still enjoying the benefit of that. And then, one day, this man comes to see me, and he walks in and says, I'm looking for a place to rent for a community organization that works with seniors, and I'd like to rent it for 2 years because we have another option coming down the road, and would that be a possibility? Now, if he had said if he had left out that we'd like to rent it for 2 years, I would have said no, because we're not intending to be in this location long enough to engage in a long-term rental with a significant entity. But because he said for 2 years, I said, oh, well, let's talk. And they, in fact, are renting the property and pay us $2,500 a month. And that almost meets our deficit. And just God has taken care of us in every way. You know, we are proceeding as way opens, and God is taking care of us, and God is meeting our need even before we know that, before we get in trouble. And I so, so love that. God is just present. Now we're closing on the Linden property tomorrow. That's a huge next step. And then it will be meetings with the architect as we get things finalized for a building. There's just all kinds of things. The other thing that I'm so grateful for is that we're a healthy gathering of folks, a group of people that listen to God. I don't think I have ever been a part of a community that so community-wide listened faithfully to God. And I am so, so grateful for that. Thank you, friends, for being a part of this and for being a part of this healthy community that listens. It is good. You know, God is weaving our unfolding. And we are simply trusting God in that. Walking with God day by day, step by step, as the song was. Allowing God, in God's timing, to lead us and to work this miracle among us that none of us would have dreamt up. Absolutely none of us. I didn't dream it up. Let me tell you, if you'd asked me before, even after she came and talked to me and said, would you be interested? And I said, make us an offer and we can't refuse. And I thought, yeah, in your dreams, you'll never make us an offer that would be that good. Not to move us to a new location debt free. And yet that is what is happening. God is good. We simply trust and proceed as way opens. Let us wait. Let's wait in silence. Let's listen and invite God to speak directly to us. God who is present. God who is so faithful. And I just want to take time to listen. I know I talked a little long for starting when we did, but it's so important that we stop and listen and allow God to speak to us out of the silence. Let us listen.